Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, as always, here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick on today's show. A lot to discuss. Earnings, obviously, Google, Gilead. We had Viacom, Estee Lauder, Ralph Lauren. So that'll lead the show. We have it set up in Square we'd like to discuss. We have some ratings from changes to BKNJ and Kraft Heinz. So a lot to get to, plus we'll take your questions from our chat as we always do. And then I'll let Joel introduce a special guest on today's show, but why don't you give us some technicals first on the overnight session, and then we'll get to that.
S&Ps are trading up 5.5 handles following through on that Friday close. Pre-market high, 27.28.25, folks. I don't have any resistance here. Maybe get up to 27.75 over the next couple days. On the downside, your close should provide support. That's at 21.25, pre-market low down at 16.25. We have crude in the red by 38 cents at 58.18. Gold still hanging above 1300, but down $1.60 at 1370.70. Silver down 4.5 cents here at 15.84. And you guys know how Dennis always complains about my charts, how the charts aren't good enough. Well, we are bringing in a chart specialist here, not only a chart specialist, but a trading specialist, a favorite of the show, Jeremy Alexander Newsom. Jeremy, how you doing?
My man, I'm phenomenal. How are you?
Welcome to the big time here. Are you nervous? Are you sweating here? How you doing?
Not nervous at all. 100% ready to rock, my man.
All right. So he's going to do the charts here on TradingView. He's going to draw the lines, and he's going to follow exactly what Dennis and I say here. And he's going to make it nice and pretty. But let's bring in Triple D. Triple D, are you getting down and dirty here the after hours pre-mark? What are you seeing?
I'm always getting down dirty, but actually it was a very, very quiet session last night. You wouldn't think it'd been quiet because we had Google earnings, but I'll tell you, man, Honey Badger Market, Google disappoints a little bit the street. Honey Badger Market don't care. It goes up. So we were down last night, but this morning they're like, nah, we're going to buy this anyway. So Google is still trading down. It is off the lows, and Google was a little bit wild. So there was some trading action on Google, which we'll probably start with here. Maybe we can just jump back to Spencer Israel, give us the numbers quick for GOOG or GOOGL, whichever one you prefer, and then we'll jump into the after-hours trading action because we did have a pretty whipsaw candle there right after the earnings report.
Yeah, the earnings for Google yesterday after the close, Q4 EPS, $12.77 versus a $10.86 estimate, sales $39.27 billion. First $38.98 billion. So beats on both the Q4 EPS and sales. Those are the headline numbers there. The comps for the holiday quarter were beat the estimate by 3%. So that's a good number there. What they're blaming the weakness on after the bell, you know, they always find a way, Dennis, right? And they're saying this morning, apparently it was their
if the stock starts going down, the media will find the fundamental reason for doing it, even sometimes when there isn't a fundamental reason. Not saying there is or isn't in this case, but in any regard here, market price, don't lie, it's down 21 points, did a little bit of an Amazon. Had the initial spike, though, and the initial spike took us to where, Mr. Elkanen?
Oh, my Lord. The initial spike took us all the way past 1160. It took us to 1169 even. Now, the high and the low were made on that same bar off the headline number. I gave you the 1169 high, and now I'll give you the 1090.02 low. And it looks like since you made that low here, since that spike, it's just you got a buyer in. You got someone at like 1104.5, 1105 here. Just looks like a patient buyer here. So I don't even know if we're going to get back down under 1,100 here. Look, sure, the range from yesterday will be a good number. 111.75 is where we're currently trading. The close from yesterday was way up at 32.80. So you have a few people trapped that were on the breakout yesterday. But to me, it looks like it's just buyers creeping in. Jeremy, this is a this one's gapping down here. Is this one you're chasing on the downside? You're leaning more towards long in the Google.
Yep, leaning more towards long. So you have just a really good opportunity here on the daily chart. So you had this unfilled gap that happened from a few days ago. This was from January 30th to January 31st. Unfilled gap, nice bullish retest gap with some volume. So again, kind of like Amazon, I think it could sell off later in the day, but most likely a gap down, flash in, a nice lower shadow, and then pop for mostly a little bit of a higher move later in the day.
Nice little shadow. How do you define that? Talk to me about nice little shadow, because that's not a term we use on the show a lot.
Sure. So lower shadow, shadows and wicks are going to be synonymous. So the shadow is going to be the low price of the candle.
Gotcha.
So that's how you, that's how you kind of dictate where the stock's going to eventually go to. So if it throws in lower shadow, that means it probably will get some quick selling. Everyone starts selling who might be in long, who are a little bit trapped, and then it finds a good bottom and starts bouncing. But I do expect I'll be looking for longs on Google. I'll also be keeping an eye on some credit spreads around 1055 if I can find some premium down there, because that's the 100 simple on a weekly chart on Google.
What kind of premium do you get for, well, now obviously the options, you know, premium is going to be out of there, so you're going to get less today than you would have yesterday.
Yep.
But
yep,
you're going down and right in like a 1055. What kind of premium do you think you're going to be, you know, looking to get?
We'll see, man.
It's going to be down. So you're going to get more, a little more premium because of that, but because the options premium is out of there. So it makes it interesting. But
yeah,
I mean, it's always an interesting strategy when you want to own the stock. And it's something we don't talk about a lot on the show either. You know, when you want to own the stock, you can turn around and sell a lower put. And mm-hmm. at least you're participating if the stock goes higher. If you don't want, if you say you want to own it at 1055, it doesn't get to your price. While if you have wrote the put, at least you're participating somewhat. So, you know, that is a strategy that I know you employ a lot, Jeremy.
Sure.
Is this something you're going to be doing in Google?
You look to get at least a dollar or so. If I can find at least a dollar, I'll be keeping an eye on it. I won't be able to do a naked put sale on this one, but I will be keeping an eye out on doing just a bull put spread. So selling a put and then buying a put lower around 1050. If I can find the premium. So looking for about 10% or 50 cents at least as a return.
So I own this still in my investment portfolio. I still love the stock long term. I've had this one for basically 7 or 8 years here now, so I'm sticking with it here.
Nice.
I think I'm on the same side though, like not just talking my book here, but even as a shorter term trade, I think about the 50%. So the 50% of maybe just this recent little run up the last 4 days. So you look 1055 low. We got up to 1132 closing at the highs yesterday. What's the 50% of that? Joel, you're good with this air math. We go $45 and $32. What is that? About $80 somewhere in that ballpark, $77.
Yeah.
Divide by two, you get to like what, 1095?
Yeah, you kind of lost
in the
me
realm,
on that one,
Joel.
Man. You kind of, I'm good at my air math, but you lost me on that one. But
I'm looking at the 1055 low from 4 days ago, 5 days ago, that little low candle.
Okay.
And then I'm looking at the high from yesterday, 1132. And so the difference there is what? About 45, 80 points.
Yeah,
let's just say it's 80
and 40. Yep. I don't think we're getting
rounding
down there.
Bit.
I don't think you're going to see
so
this under.
Knock 40 off. It's right around that low from 3 days ago, 1095. That would coincide with the 50% of the low recent move. I think that's where you find some buyers, just under 1100. Hit some stops below 1100.
We're that's right.
G. I mean, that setup's not bad. A little bit below, get back up over 1,100. We'll get Jeremy Newsom interested in this, too.
That's right.
How far out you going, Jeremy, on something like that? Will you go out a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months? What's your time frame on that?
That's a really good question. I should probably also look for a couple of months, but I won't. I will go no farther than March. So March will be the regular March, March 15th. Will be the longest that I go. But I'll be looking at in the morning, pretty much March 15th, all the way up till this Friday to see if I can find some premium. Just looking around, see what excites me.
Okay. All right. More earnings reports, Spencer.
where would you like to go? We can go to Gilead.
Sure.
They were after the bell yesterday as well, so we'll do that, I guess. GILD reporting Q4 EPS, $1.44 versus $1.70 estimate there. Sales $5.79 versus $5.48 billion. So EPS miss. Sales beat in the Q4 for Gilead. Their fiscal year gap EPS guidance. The range they gave $1.40 to $1.50, and their product sales guidance at around $21.3 to $21.8 billion. They gave Q4 the Q4 was the earnings, and then they gave the GAAP EPS guidance, and they raised their dividend. That's what I wanted to say. They raised their quarterly dividend from 57 cents to 63 cents per share.
Traded down 230 here. Not as confident in this one as that the low's in. You hit a 67.25 low, and you're just skimming along the bottom here. This was all for the after hours and the pre-market trading. You also have some daily lows in this area. I see a daily low, several around 67.25 here. So I don't know, better place to bring in a short if you held it in through the report. But just been quiet running in the report. I'm looking for some underneath demand here. Triple D, what do you see here on the Gilead chart?
Just quiet consolidation. We're pulling back here. So you got multiple lows right in this area. You're pulling back to 267.36, low on the 28th, 67.50, the low on the 24th. Go further back than that. You got 67.03, 67.11. I learned a little bit on Jeremy Newsom's show, though, last week. And I know if you take those, you know, you get to all this area, Jeremy often says, well, you get down 67.50. Why don't you just hit all those lows, 67.03, take out those, maybe get back up above that area, you know, hit some stops. So I think I don't know if you're going to say the same thing, Jeremy, there, but that's what just from learning on your show, when you get near those lows, why not go and take out all those lows, hit all those stops, people who are leaning on those lows, and then take it higher. Is that what
my
you're
man?
I learned that right from Jeremy. Oh, Lisa, man.
Getting it, baby. That is exactly what I was going to say on Gilead.
So we get back up over 60. So let's say, hypothetically speaking, we knock out all those stops that are people sitting on that lowest 67.03 from the 15th, maybe get down to like 66.5 area, or, you know, 30, 40 cents below it, then come back up through it. That's where it starts to get interesting.
Yep, exactly. So, I mean, once it starts breaking that 67.03 mark, I mean, obviously it could flush and go lower. That's certainly a possibility. But at that point in time, I'll start to zoom in and really look for a long play. Once all of those stops are, you know, like you mentioned, just hit, everyone's all upset, everyone's selling, everyone's mad, and then it just starts to slowly bounce out of here. Looks nice, like that will exactly occur. I like that plan.
What do you think, Joel? What do you think of that plan? What do you think of the stops? You know, and that's
money,
something that...
Dead money. I really do.
Money all around.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of hurt themselves by curing, you know, diseases, and then no one buying the product anymore here. So, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. No one's taking it over. They've taken people over. I mean, it had its run in 2015, 2016. Maybe a good day trading vehicle longer term. You got to close above 70.5. You have several highs between 70.26 and 70.5. We are now $3 away from there. I'd rather try and buy this thing on strength as opposed to trying to pick a bottom here in Gilead.
Interestingly enough, on the call, and hat tip to Brad Alongkar, who's been on our show before, for tweeting this out. They were asked about M&A on their call, and they said that late stage opportunities are few and far between. So maybe we're not going to get that deluge of M&A that we thought we were going to get a few weeks ago in biotech.
Just to clarify on the charts here, we're getting, and I do see it too, the one downside, because Jeremy's running the charts from Nashville here, the charts are pretty, but they are going to be smaller because we're seeing on Jeremy's Skype. We're not seeing it directly from Benzinga. So we will, you know, we'll obviously fix that, you know, going forward and figure out a different way to do that. But we're just trying to show you some different stuff that we can do with the charts using this different software there. So it does show a little bit smaller there. So a couple of people asking about that.
All right, our next earnings report there, Mr. Israel.
Oh, where would you like to go on the earnings? We can
Seagate,
STX. It is reporting yesterday as well. Q2 EPS of $1.41 versus $1.28. Nice beat. Sales $2.71 versus $2.72 billion. So it was a slight miss on that, but a very nice beat on the Q2 EPS. I don't believe they gave guidance. So just those numbers for you.
Wild trading after hours. This thing got a big spike. And then they obviously said something on the conference call, and I wasn't listening to the conference call. I was busy trading along, and it turned around and lit up my down filters. It fell fast and furiously somewhere about an hour after the earnings reports. I'm assuming that something was said on the conference call, but you can see how it was trading if you look at the after hours action there. We traded up, Joel, how high? STX.
Oh, boy, we got a big spike off the headline number with the 48.22 and then reversed. And reversed hard. I'll give you your pre-market low. Your pre-market low comes in
48.22. We're up $3 almost. Wow.
Yep. And then they stuffed them, took it down. Pre-market low 41.67. Now hanging out at $43. Ah, man, that spike down to 41.67. That filled the gap that you had back from January. But once again, same picture here. It got slammed. But you're finding buyers here. I don't even know if we'll go back down to that pre-market low. I mean, they're not lifting offers, but they're showing some bids out there. Mr. Newsom, what's your take here on STX?
It's a very valid point. I think you're kind of right on this one as far as just getting bought, more dip buying coming in. Yeah. So, yeah, the pre-market low there, the purple line that I have on my chart is the 100 simple on the daily. So what randomly, like actually I like this gap down. I was hoping that it would continue lower, and it still could. Right, we have a long time for market open. But my thought is with it trading down into that 100 and bouncing off of it, probably this one's going to be really weird and kind of trappy all day. So it's going to trade up to, 43.5. People are going to buy it. Then it's going to run back down to 42.5. People are going to short it. It's just going to bounce. And people are just going to be on the wrong side of this one all day. That's kind of what I think. So I'll most likely be watching Seagate for a bearish trade. And I'll try to get in it as high as possible. But that's probably going to be the only trade that I see on Seagate.
We're going to have Western Digital is the one that moves best with it. So obviously keep an eye on WDC. Mm-hmm. The sympathy moves there last night. It's starting to show a little bit more life, though. Western Digital's had an incredible run here. I mean, down from 35. I do have this in my long-term portfolio. Obviously, I sold half, which I talked about there on the big spike up day after earnings. I thought it was too much too fast, which I rebought them. I didn't. I never rebuy them. Anyways, WDC 47.12. So we are down 1.5%. The semis are a little bit under pressure. There's some other stuff. AMD is under pressure for other reasons, which we'll get to in a second. But obviously, Seagate's putting a little bit of pressure. Even a stock like Micron trading down here in the pre-market. It was trading down a little more last night, showing a little bit of life there. Do you play the sympathy, Jeremy? And then also, I just want to get your thoughts. I want to go over to Micron here for a second here because MU has had a pretty incredible run here too. I still have this in my longer-term portfolio. $28.39 was the Christmas Eve, or actually it was the Chris. Actually, it made a lower on the Christmas, the Boxing Day, as we say in Canada, the 26th, $28.39. And then we've been on a tear. I mean, really, think about it. We're up over 30% here in a matter of a month and a half. We're running right into installing out right into all those highs in November and December, though, on MU. We're a little bit down here today because of the Seagate numbers there. What are your thoughts on MU?
So I like MU. This thing, very similar to the S&P as far as just technical charts. So Micron bounced right off of the 200 simple on a weekly chart. I mean, that was the exact low back on, like you mentioned, Boxing Day, that 24th, 27th area. And then, we've just been with the whole market just rallying strong, making some nice moves. I actually do like the small gap down. So let's see. So MU is gapping down, long as it's not opening below 38. So right now it's at 39.32. So it's down small. You asked me about the sympathy plays. I will absolutely admit that you're 100% better at those than I am. That's not a specialty of mine, the sympathy plays. I kind of just watch
these charts.
Yeah, I just watch that main instrument and kind of play that usually. My brain doesn't think fast enough to think sympathy. And that's There's so many.
My brain doesn't a lot of times either. I'll tell you, last night my brain was trying to think fast because I was playing sympathy off Google. Google, now I'm getting choked up. Google spikes up $30. And I'm like, okay, I got to buy all these tech stocks here because Google's going to go. And then just as I'm starting to buy the tech stocks, like, oh, wait a second, Google's giving it back. So then I got to turn around and start selling all the tech stocks. So sometimes my brain doesn't think fast. Even though I trade sympathy, sometimes my brain doesn't think fast enough either. And you get caught on the wrong side in these little whipsaw action off your opening earnings candle.
Sure. But what I would say is if Seagate does bounce, I think your Western Digital and Micron technology will have some really good strength and some good follow through. If Seagate goes red to green, then we'll see some good continuation on the bull side for Micron, Western Digital, and a few others, because the charts, they look pretty on the daily.
What about Intel? And this has, you know, quietly gotten back all of its losses from just reporting there a week and a half ago. So buy the dip mentality is just out there and everything. And here was Intel, obviously disappointed. We saw that day a lot of the semis were actually strong because we had Western Digital earnings that day helping out. But Intel was the only one that was very weak. We bought them multiple times in the last 3 days. We kind of went straight up here from the 46 level there up to over 49.20. INTC, Joel and Jeremy, I want to get your thoughts on this one because it's got all those earnings losses back. I mean, buy the dip, BTFD forever.
Reaction on the earnings day. You had your earnings day low after the big run up here. Now you'd fill the gap. You're trading down 7 cents here. I don't know. I'm on the long side. Keep a target here of 50.04. That was high on the day before they gave the earnings. And above that, things look open, but just kind of creeping up there. If you're looking for this on a pullback, I don't know, you might have missed the boat here. Yesterday's low is way down at 48.24. That $50 level has just been a point of resistance going back to the middle of December. So clear breakout over 50, bind it on strength. I on the downside, get a look at yesterday's low, 48.24, be a level to lean on the, if you're looking to buy this on a pullback.
So for me on a technical chart, I don't know the time. I'd probably have to make some type of wild claim, but I think Intel gets back up to its 2000 high in the next 2-3 years, maybe a little bit longer, but.
What was it? Wasn't it like $75?
Yeah, 75 and some change. I think.
I look at that memory. I see, it's not always a goldfish memory, Joel.
75.81.
I got 75.83. I mean,
I pulled that out of my head though. 75 from 19 years ago. You gotta say, hey, I got that. Must have impressed Joel right there.
That's right.
What did you have?
I've got Intel in the long-term portfolio too. I pretty much have everything in the long-term portfolio. I've built this buy in my long-term portfolio. Anyways, 100 stocks in there. I've got all the big ones. I have Intel in there too. I have them all. So I hope you're right. I hope it goes back to 75. I mean, valuation is still decent. You think like, I don't know. I think we need chips and everything. I mean, is Intel still best in breed? You know, a lot of people thought NVIDIA. A lot of people still think maybe AMD's taking it, but I don't know. Still a lot of people like Intel chips too. So I can't see betting against this thing long-term either.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that.
Betting for it long-term.
I'm with you.
All right, let's go over to Light. I wanted to go to Light, Lumentum Holdings. They, you know, of course, you know, they got hit with the Apple warning there at the beginning of January. So this was maybe a report with tempered expectations, but the Q2 EPS $1.15 missed by 2 cents, sales $373 versus $362 million. So a nice sales beat for the Q2. The Q3 guidance that they gave, 76 to 94 cents was the EPS guidance. The sales guided to $420 to $440 million, and those were both okay.
Stock trained down $1.14 pre-market, 48.30. I think this is one, again, whereby the dippers could come in here. I don't know if I'd be coming at 48.30, but getting anywhere near that 45 area, I think there's lots of support down there. What are you guys thinking?
Quick spike. I'll give you a quick spike down to 46.90. You've rebounded off that trade, like $2. All these pre-market charts look the same. You've had the spike low, and then the buy the dippers are coming in here.
Can't stop these guys. How do we like stop the buy the dippers? There's no way to stop it. It didn't stop in December. It didn't stop. These guys are relentless, these buy the dippers. You can't stop them. They're unstoppable.
47.10 is your three-day low. So I think see that as support ahead of the pre-market low. Coming back on the upside here, 49.34. That fills the gap from yesterday. So if you're looking for some resistance there, 49.34 was your low. 49.64 was the close. Jeremy, what do you have for us here in LITE?
I'm looking, man, nothing too crazy. Looking at this chart, I was hoping for a gap up. That would have been just looking at pure technicals. A gap above 51.37 would have been wonderful. But a gap down, I mean, I think you guys are right just as far as the overall charts. I mean, it's hard to argue that it looks like there's going to be some dip buying opportunities. So the big question is, yes, when do we pause? Like, are we just going to go up forever? Is that what's going to happen? Do we just continue all of 2019 every week just higher? Probably not. So there'll be a price where we hit for the whole market. Right now is moving kind of together. So if this thing pulls down to 47, I think if you're looking for a longer term play on light, which I'm not, but if you are, I think that would be a spot to at least slowly tiptoe in some action and pick some up.
Let's move away just for a second from the earnings. We'll come back to it. If there's a specific stock, there's, you know, 100 stocks reporting or something like that today. If you have a specific stock that you want to hear, let us know in the chat. We'll try to get back to it here. But I want to go to a stock that everybody likes to trade. I know Jeremy Newsom likes to trade it too, and that is Square. I'm looking at the SQ. I'm looking at a pretty decent setup here. I actually had this overnight because I like the setup. I'm, you know, me, overnight trader, so I've already sold it and took the 1% out of it. But man, this is not starting to look like a decent setup. It looks like Square is kind of itching to go here. Jeremy, first, I know you're in this too. Like, we had the pullback. The pullback was because we got the sell rating that was out of the blue. Who was that analyst, Joel? Or Spencer? Who was the analyst that downgraded it there 5 days ago? Was it RJ?
Yeah, I believe so. Let me confirm. Wow, good memory.
Dennis,
look at this memory I got. I'm underpicking my Jinko Biloba or whatever it is. Is that what it is?
Jinko Biloba.
Is that what it is? Jinko Biloba? Anyways, my memory is good here this morning. So, yeah, RJ gives the sell rating. Stock gets hit down to the tune almost 10 points off the highs. And you know what's happened? A quiet 3-4 days of consolidation. And now it starts to look like, might start to want to run here. How are you playing this one, Jeremy?
Yeah, man. So Monday. So Monday and also some Friday, I knew I was getting called away with some shares. So I did some put sales. I have some limit buys out there as well. But what we were talking about, so you asked me pretty much just point blank on Friday how I would trade Square. And my thought was, I gave two thoughts. Like, if it trades down to 67, you know, I'm a buyer. But this super, super small, random bearish candle, I just for some reason liked it. I felt good about it. So break above the high, this one's good. Here's the thing, man. The high of yesterday on Square was 72.62. If Square opens above that price today, that's also above the 100 simple on the daily. I'm going to day trade this thing with my eyes closed. It looks like it's going to fly. Oh, man. I'll be really keeping an eye on this.
I should have held my overnight.
Yeah. You might want to tip back into 10 shares.
I might come back into this one yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the gap, man. I really do. I'll wait like 5-6 minutes to see how it holds. If it just flushes lower, that's fine. But a gap up on this one, above the 100, above the high of yesterday, above the high of the gap down from the ridiculous downgrade. And I think this thing just flies, man. This is a good compression. Right where the price action starts getting really squeezed in there. I dig this.
Yeah, you had
just picture yourself, just for Joel, just picture yourself as a money manager. You're running, you know, $100 million or a couple hundred million dollar account. And you see what's happening.
He doesn't have to picture it, Joel. That's how it is.
You see what happens with like the Splunkster. You see what happens with, you know, all Twilio. All these stocks are back up making highs. This was one of the most loved stocks last year. And you look at it and you're like, we're still 30 points off the all-time high. We could get back there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's money managers that are thinking that here right now, looking at these setups too, trying to time their entry and saying, I don't think I'm getting a shot back at the 50. That it got down to. I don't think I'm getting a shot back at 60. I personally don't think they are either. So I think this is a stock that's going to, you know, even, you know, valuation be damned. You can't worry about that sometimes. I think this is a stock that's going to find some love from a lot of money managers out there eventually. And I think you're going to see this one starting to trend back up through the 70s and back into the 80s fairly soon.
Yeah, they are.
My opinion.
Yep, they report late here. They don't report until February 26th here. That's when they give their Q4 report. So you got a little time here in a pre-earnings run-up. The Raymond James put a nice low in there. Like Jeremy, he's mentioned 72.62. That was the high from yesterday. You're opening right into that. 73.86. That could be another target on the upside. That was your high on the end of the month, January 31st, 73.86, another target there for square longs.
8:31, Dennis, any notable imbalances to note?
I think a little bit to the sell side. I think that's actually – did we have a number on the S&P? Do we have a number? We didn't have an economic number, did we?
No.
Nope.
We just got hit a little bit there on the S&Ps, just the tune. And it's because there's quite a few sell imbalances here. So I think that's why we got it. Procter Gamble, 65,000 a sell. That kind of stands out. Bank of America, 90,000 a sell. Some of the banks were actually trading up, and they're starting to leak here a little bit. Citigroup, 22,000 a sell. That's fairly small. They're pretty small, but most of them I'm noticing so far just to the sell side. But again, it's early. We're going to have another hour for order flow to come in here yet. So a lot of things can change. But as of right now, S&P is looking a little – or the stocks are looking a little bit more negative than positive, I would say. But that could change very quickly.
All right. Let's go back to earnings. I want to hit on a few more, and then we'll talk about – there's other stuff. There's AMD, which we'll hit on, of course. But Ralph Lauren reported earnings this morning. RL Q3 EPS, $2.32 versus a $2.14 estimate. So a nice beat. On that, the Q3 sales, $1.72 versus $1.66 billion. So another beat. Beat on the top and the bottom line in the third quarter for the Q4. Guidance, they see their sales down slightly on the year-over-year basis. On a fiscal year basis, their sales will be up by a hair. And that is your report on Ralph Lauren.
Somebody got nervous last night. I hit this down to 108.5. And I was like, oh, I threw bids out at 110 and higher. I was like, I'll take that all day if you want to give me a 5-point lead on Ralph Lauren. Never got hit. Would have been nice, though. Yeah. Anyway, stock right back up, obviously up this morning here, 122.5 here. So trading higher here. It seems like Ralph Lauren always, I don't know, it seems like they beat a lot more than they miss. And it seems like they always get some love after earnings. So it's a stock that I'm always kind of biased to buy heading into the report. I did not have a position. I tried, like I said last night, to get in, but I could not. 122.5 is where it's trading here. It's a setup here, Joel. Let's go.
This is a tough one. This, Dennis, it saw that 108 print. Did you just go 110 bid immediately? Because
pretty much.
Yeah, because
I thought the person that bought at 108.5 might say, hey, I'll take a $3.50. And I'd be like, well, I'll take the lead 4.5. So I was like offering him a little bit. I'm like, hey, here's a free, you know. And it was only a couple, like, it was only trade a couple hundred shares down.
Yeah,
there.
I did it.
But I just like, I'll give it a go. Nobody hit me.
No, I can see that.
So the guy who bought it 108.5 was laughing here this morning because I never traded very. I was only trading like 500-600 shares last night. It barely traded, but it's widespread. I mean, a lot of these things don't have markets. Like you start talking after hours, and that's the one thing. You know, when you're an after hours trader and you're a pre-market trader, there are a lot of instances, especially if you're in a smaller cap stock that doesn't have any news. There's no market at all. There's no bids or offers. So you don't really have a choice. You're like holding the stock till the next morning when the market opens at 9:30 and you actually have buyers and sellers in there. Now, obviously on a stock like Bank of America or AMD, there's always an active market. So you can trade and get in and out of that whenever you want, basically. But a stock like Ralph Lauren going into earnings, there wasn't a lot of bids, wasn't a lot of offers. Somebody got excited last night or nervous last night and sold it all the way down $6. And obviously somebody happily bought it down $6, and that person's even more happy because they're getting an extra $7 here this morning. So I'll just say, if you have a stock going in an earnings report, sometimes you just got to hold it through. Like, let's say, you know, at the end of the day, for whatever reason, you get stuck. You know, sometimes you can wiggle out after. I get stuck lots of times. I've got closing orders. I've got some automation running. Sometimes like, oh man, I'm stuck. I bought the stock on the close. It's reporting tomorrow. So now I've got to like figure out how to work out of it. I'll try to work out a little bit sometimes after hours if I can scratch it or, you know, maybe. But if I can't, I'm not going to sell something down $6 and give up a huge edge because let's just say hypothetically Ralph Lauren missed. Yeah. Is it going to go down? What's it going to go down? $8, $10? So you're giving up $6 right away. And what if they beat? So I feel like you're giving up the edge so much by selling it down $6 last night. So even if you're nervous, I just think, you know, why, you know, if you can get out maybe a dollar loss, maybe, but selling something down $6 ahead of the report, I think that's, yeah, it's tough, you know, make money in the long run doing stuff like that.
Pulling back right now, we got real excited when you got the spike up to 125.92. The volume has come in, and we are just selling off real slowly here. Man, you had nice resistance at 118, a couple highs there. That's history. So maybe if you come back down to 117.5, 118, a couple bucks away from here, a little bit lower risk long with a stop at the close here. On the way up, if you know, trying to take some profits on the long side, you want to see a get back up to that pre-market high, 125.92. Longer it takes to that, get back up and take out that level, I think you might see a little bit of a fade here, as you're seeing now in the pre-market. Jeremy, is RL one of the stocks that you trade, or?
You know, I don't trade RL that often. I do get asked every day, though, am I wearing a Ralph Lauren shirt?
Yeah, what's Ralph Lauren thinking about this real-life trading logo?
it's a little different. That's the thing. Just a little. That's all it's that like matters. It's a
pre-market bird, Joel.
It's super close. The thing is, I actually love this gap up, and the only thing that I'm concerned about is the 200, which is at 123.28. So 200 on the daily. So if we really, like, that's almost pre-market high, like you're mentioning, Joel. I love this gap, and I will be looking all day for a long.
Okay. All right. Guess he answered that. Let's go to AMD. Because I want to hit on this. We had a major shareholder sell their stake here overnight. Abu Dhabi-based investment firm Mubadala Investments sold about 35 million equity shares, and they intend to convert another 75 million warrants into common stock. So they're selling a stake. They've held the company since 2007. And they're selling their shares, so AMD gets some cash, I guess.
So question though, they're selling their shares and they convert warrants, so they're getting more shares. So are they really selling? I mean, they had the warrants, so that's exposure to the shares, but then they're converting. So are they just like, you know, sell our shares, we'll exercise our warrants, so cheaper price, and replace their shares?
So after the warrants are converted, they're gonna they'll still have about a 6.9% stake in the
company. All right, so they're not out at all.
No,
maybe this is a little bit of nervousness. When you see these big investors from Abu Dhabi, sometimes they really, you know, slam the stock. And in this case, they are. It's down 2.74%. But they're not really, you know, getting all out of it here either. So I would say I'm more inclined to buy the dip on this thing too. But that being said, this has had an incredible 3-4 day run. You know, we talked about this actually looking pretty good. It had the ugly candle that shook everybody out. Probably, I didn't trade it, but I talked about it on the original. I talked about it looking pretty good on the 25th, and then you had 2 days where, you know, it got beat up, and I think there was somebody else reported in there, which didn't help it either. But since then, there's the Intel report. But since then, you know, straight up right fails right at the 25. I mean, there's some technical stuff here too happening. Yep. So, and under normal circumstances, I think I'd be coming by the dip. But the problem is, there's just so much air below. I don't want to be early on that one.
No, and man, I wish they would have announced this yesterday, because I did have a small short put position. Just the only reason I did is you had a double close right at the high of the move. You had a close on Thursday at 24.41, close on Friday at 24.51. So I was looking at that, the put, and then I'm like, okay, if it takes out 25 with the gusto, then I have to hit the road. But once again, I let the market rally in mechanics, saying, okay, market's going up, everything has to go up. So listen, would have held that one at least another couple days. Would be covering this morning. Really doesn't sound like they did anything. Pre-market low is 23.20, but man, this thing is starting to creep up, and it's just big volume. There's some big volume buyers there. So I look at that lean on that 23.20 low. Really nothing on the dailies there to speak of, 22.83, but looks like it's, took its lick in here overnight, but looks like it's still going to keep on ticking. Jeremy, any thoughts on AMD?
I am with you, my man. I think this is a D money. I think this is a dip buy, my friend.
Yeah, you think it's a dip buy?
Yeah. 20.
Where would you be coming? Where would you be comfortable trying it?
So I'm going to try this one most likely two or three times before it actually, if it doesn't bounce, I'll just be wrong, because this was a really good gap on earnings. So I'll try it at 23.30, which is pretty much the high of the December 4th candle. So just pretty much just buying at 23.30. I'll try there. And if that doesn't work, then I'll try like 22. And if that doesn't work, then I'll try 20.50 and some change. And if all three
you'll be
of those,
it all the way down.
Yeah. So all
that though. This is a good. So you're gonna come in, and if you're wrong, how much wiggle room are you gonna give yourself? So if you can come at 23.30, what kind of risk are you gonna? Where are you gonna stop out?
Stop is at 22.30. So I'm gonna take a dollar risk.
You take a dollar risk on it.
Yeah.
So looking for the bounce from 23.30, then down to 22.30, and try it again the next level. So. You're willing to take some heat, and you're willing to be wrong a few times. You know, you'll be wrong, get out, let it go a little bit lower, try it again.
Yep. That's exactly right. Stuff,
because a lot of times what you see people do is they do the trade and they get stopped out and they're wrong and they're like, wow, okay, well, I'm going to short it then now. And then they end up shorting the bottom.
And then it bounces.
I'm like, man, I just got like, you know, I was bullish at, and it went down, so I shorted it, and then it went back up, and then I just like got chopped all up here. So at least when you're buying, you're going to be consistently buying it. You're not going to get chopped up as much because you're not going to be shorting it on the way down. So that's, you know, an interesting strategy there. You know, and a lot of traders, I think, don't think about, hey, if you're wrong, you can get back out, and you can always get back in.
I appreciate that. I'll share with you like for 60 seconds some insight on that. So what is I tell people, for example, if you're doing a trade like this, it's very similar to roulette. Okay. So if you're playing black, you don't want to keep going back and forth to red. Like you got to stay on black. You got to keep, you got to just stay on black.
And it's the same. It's 48.6%, I think.
Yeah. double your bets. So the thing is, for example, if you're betting options over earnings, a lot of people will buy calls and they'll buy puts and they'll buy calls and buy puts. It's like, no, man, just do the same thing all the time, and at some point, like, you'll be right. Like, if you keep flip-flopping, you decreases the chances of being correct. So if you stay consistent, one of them has to hit at some point.
Okay. Joel, what are your thoughts here on AMD? So you're saying, and are you were you leaning on the buy side here too, or are you gonna you're still leaning on the put side? You cut your put.
It's going back on my do not trade list.
Come on, Joel.
Yeah.
Chopped up. He's out of this thing.
No, I just think it's holding nicely here. At I mean, I'll lean on the pre-market low. If I did buy 23.40, 23.45, I think boom, pre-market low would be my exit. I don't know if I'd really try it again until you got to under 23 bucks. 22.83 was your 3-day low. I just think you got a lot of people got caught short in this one. Strong momentum. I think the buy the dipper is going to come in. Look for the gap fill would be at 24.07, parallels there, that would be resisted. So if you're getting a pop there, and this thing was weak in the day too, just after I covered it. So maybe someone had the news, but your resistance now comes in at 24.07. That was your double bottom from Friday and Monday.
Mm. All right. Jump back. A couple other stocks that I do want to cover going back to the earnings parade here. I want to go to Glu Mobile. This stock is getting hit. The stock has been an absolute monster. One of the best performers last year. I had this in my investment portfolio for a long time. Wish I still had it. I bought this. I don't even remember where I bought this thing. Back at $4 or $5. I think it was $4.25. Ooh. And it ran and ran and ran. I ended up selling some at $7. And then I sold the rest, I think, in the sixes. Wish I wouldn't have sold any of it because obviously it's up here. And got up over $10. But, I mean, gaming stocks here have been hit. Glu Mobile has not been hit at all until today. So this stock has been relentless, gets over 10 bucks. Now it's down 10% here this morning. This one's an interesting setup, maybe even from the Jeremy Newsom style. So you get, you know, a dollar drop here on the earnings report. Maybe you get down there. Maybe you take out that 893 low from January 23rd. You know, you'd hit all the stops at 9 that are below 9. And maybe then it comes back up over 9 and then maybe you strike. But I mean, the trend is still your friend here. I do believe it's going to be by the dip mentality here in Glu Mobile as well, because the stock has been relentless and there's a lot of shorts that probably had their face ripped off trying to short this thing. I think but if it takes out the low 893, hit some stops, get back up over 9, I might get interested. Am I playing this right, Jeremy? This I'm learning this from you last week. Am I playing this right?
You're doing perfect. That is
exactly, is that what you were thinking too?
That's exactly what I was thinking, man.
I like this Jeremy Newsom style.
Yeah.
Yep, like
so what do you think of this? What do you think of this strategy here where you wait till all those stops get taken out, then you get back. I mean, getting back up over is a Joel Alcana move. He's always one that he likes the levels, and he likes it, and it comes back up over into the level again. That's where he gets interested. So what do you think, GLUU?
Man, they really slammed this thing. They slammed it down to 822, and then they –
No, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Did it go 822?
Yep.
Whoa, I did not see that.
And nearly 200,000 shares traded on that, and they scooped it right back up.
Right off the initial candle?
Yep. You could have played it off the initial candle.
These initial moves overshoot so much. I don't think you're getting there. I think 822 is off the board. I don't think you're seeing it.
Nope. Nor do I think you'll see the gap fill up to 998. That was your low from yesterday. Now that you've hit that high, street leading the wrong way in this one. So I am not personally interested in buying this one today. It's had a nice run up here from what was the low here? You had a low at 910, and you're already taking that. I don't, a lot of congestion here at 9, but I think if you take out 9 with some momentum here, I got a target here before the pre-market low. I see some support at 875.
Jump, question from the chat from John Dodson. This is a good one. I'm going to answer it, and I'm going to throw it to you guys to answer it too, because we're just obviously, this is just theories here. But I noticed this too, and John's asking me, why is that we see a lot of turns in stocks around 10 a.m.? So why do we see, you know, a stock going one direction, or even the market for in general going one direction, and then, you know, it seems to sometimes turn around at 10 a.m. and go the other way? And a lot of times I think, and there's different ways. Let's just talk the, you know, the market overall here. A lot of times what you'll see is, and I love the two-day move where you see, you know, the market going up for a day, and then you have a reversal day. A lot of times you'll see follow through the next morning because you have the Johnny come latelys, the people who are sitting at home that maybe, you know, watch the market go up for 5-6 days in a row, and all of a sudden it gets a big down day and they get nervous and like, okay, I want to get out and lock in some of these profits, or I want to get out and, you know, or, and you know, I'm getting nervous here. So call their broker, or they send their orders in the morning. That puts more pressure on the market in the morning. So you get this opening pressure from maybe follow through from the previous day's move. And then, you know, that selling pressure slowly starts to go away. You know, the first few minutes you have it there, maybe you have some follow through, maybe you catch a few opening day traders on the wrong side. They shake out in the first 5, 10, 15 minutes. Then usually around 9:45, I start to see, okay, maybe some stabilization, and then it's the turn. And then you start to see maybe, you know, a rip. So my theory is always you get that opening and you have a lot of volatility, and we know in the first candle at 9:30, and then you see, you know, the liquidity slowly start to come in, maybe stocks stabilize, and then sometimes you can actually see buyers emerge. So in the case, you know, of, you know, GlueMobile, you know, maybe you get an opening washout, you know, people saw a trade down to $8, maybe you get some nervous Nellies out there, maybe you take out those 8.93 lows, but then we start to stabilize, and that takes a few minutes, and then maybe 9:45, 10 o'clock, maybe you start to show some life. So I think you're exactly right, John. I think there is that that is out there, that you do see turns happen 9:45, 10 o'clock, somewhere in that vicinity. And I think those are playable, you know, turns as well. So the reasoning behind it, anybody can guess, but that's kind of what my reasoning, what I think behind it. Jeremy, you got any thoughts on that? And do you notice the same thing? Sometimes stocks start to turn, you know, if they're going one direction, sometimes they start to turn 25, 30 minutes after the open.
Yes, absolutely. So here's the, I mean, it, I've heard about every reversal time possible.
well, there's a lot of different times that are possible.
Exactly. So I've heard, you know, 9:45, 10, 10:15, 10:30. What I will say is
I will, noon.
Yeah, yeah,
the
exactly.
Noon balloon.
The noon balloon. Joel's got a name for it.
Noon balloon.
They must have had some of these terms for that. That must have come from the floor of the noon balloon.
That's funny. That is funny. I would say 34 is a fib number. So 34 minutes into market open makes sense for people to do something different, because that's where they get a little scared. They get a little shaken up. If you're into numerology, I mean, sure, 30 minutes could be a specific time. But honestly, man, They're every single time I've heard, I've truly heard every time as a reversal time. So don't worry about it. If it happens, it happens.
How do you identify that turn? So let's just forget about the time, but you start to see, take a Glue Mobile, for instance, here today, and it's going to have some pressure off the open. We can see that. Let's just say, hypothetically, you know, maybe we hit out those stops and it starts to show some, when would Jeremy Newsom strike? You know, how do I identify that turn to potentially profit from that turn?
Thing is, man, I try not to identify it. I try to be in it before the turn happens. I mean, that's realistically the goal, is just buy, get in at a support, get in at a spot that you go, you know, for example, if Glue Mobile trades 876 and you have a stop at 830, right below that pre-market low, is like, is it going to run down there? Well, it might. But again, if it does, so I'll do it with another color. If it does break down and continue lower, then like I mentioned, if I get stopped out, then I'll look to get in again a second time. Again, get stopped out the first time, get in a second time, see if it actually ends up bouncing. But as far as identifying the turn, because of course, you know, you're never going to get in all the time before it happens.
Yeah.
Candle patterns, man. Candle patterns are it. Like that is my life. You're looking for a good morning star, a good hammer pattern, some type of engulfing pattern, maybe a one white soldier, maybe a tweezer pattern. You find a really good candle pattern on a smaller time frame, those will absolutely help you identify the turn.
All right. You just threw out so many technical terms that we don't use on the show. So you got to define a couple of these for us there. Talk about the hammer. What's the hammer?
Hammer. Let me find one. So this is a hammer right here on Glue Mobile. So think about it like Thor's hammer. So you get an open, you get this nice run down, which creates a lower shadow. Right, it trades up and kind of closes with a nice candle body. It looks like legitimately a hammer. Those are really good buying candles. Very, very good buying candles. You see a good hammer candle, long lower shadow, represents buying pressure. You know, I mean, on Glue Mobile, just pre-market, you could have gotten in at 902 and pop it up to 928. That's 28 cents. That's your life right there, Dennis. You know,
just that is, oh, yeah, just, oh, 28 cents, that's like a home run for me. My life is nickels. I'm trading for nickels.
So just on that move right there, just based on purely that hammer, and again, we can see if I zoom in just a little bit more, and I'll minimize this right side over here, you can see that it made that lower low. So even on pre-market, you had some people that had the stops right there at 880. So when it broke that low, threw in that lower shadow, stopped all those people out and form that hammer, man, that's a beautiful little pop higher that you could have easily determined and figured out. Because again, it came in right at that 7 a.m. Central reversal time and it just popped and ran it higher. It was good.
I think one thing on that, to going back to the 10 o'clock, I think the, you know, there's a lot of institutions besides doing their, you know, their opening orders. If they want to do a piece, they'll do a piece on the open, and then they run the theoreticals, they run their programs, their quantitative analysis, and then, you know, maybe they're trading off a 30-minute chart. So if you're trading off, you know, 15-minute increments and you have 15-minute data and 30-minute data. So I think that's when you get, quantitative traders probably are taking their positions, letting the dust settle, and maybe coming in after the market's been open for a half hour or so.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, S&Ps are still hanging up near the highs of the pre-market session. We made a high at 28.25, up 6 points, looking for a pullback to the close of 27.21.25. That's been our high close of the rebound so far. Any hot earnings stocks here? We should wrap up with some ratings.
I think we covered the bulk of the earnings. There were some ratings that caught my eye, one of which was CenturyLink CTL here, catching a downgrade this morning from Citigroup to sell, and it is down, last I checked, around 3.5%.
All right, stock in the gutter. This stock is just trending down.
Going to
yielding
zero.
15%. Jeremy says going to zero. Now, we don't know that for sure or not,
no,
but I'll just say I'm on the same side as you, Jeremy. Why do you want – so if you're – we're saying buy the dips, you know, buy the – we're saying buy the dips in a stock like Glue Mobile that's been strong. That's got, you know, a lot of tendency to have underneath demand because people either, you know, maybe want to own it because it's been going up and they've been watching it go up, or maybe they're shorted and they need to cover. I mean, there's no underneath demand in this thing. This thing has been going straight down forever. There's overhead supply, the opposite issue here. I think I agree with you. We got down in October of 2017 to 1316. I think we're eventually going there. This is not what I'm interested in buying the dip in. Buy stocks and uptrends, sell stocks and downtrends. Sell the rips in the stocks and uptrends, or in downtrends, and buy the dips in stocks and uptrends.
I agree.
So I don't like the CTL at all. Next one, Spencer.
Just for that one, you mentioned way down at 1316, but you had a low at the end of 2018 at 1397. That's still 52 cents away. So that would be.
You going to get down dirty, try to 14? Joel likes his levels, though. Joel sometimes buy the dip on these.
Come on, Joel.
I cover short there. That's
right. Cover you. Oh, you will
cover short.
Not full on bearish. 1397. See Jeremy Asanity at 14 when it gets there.
I don't think it gets to 14 today.
No, it's 1454, so okay. You know, it's got a long ways to keep
like
moving there.
Good place to cover is short. You mentioned that 1316 low after that, so stock in trouble.
All right, you didn't like that downgrade. What about this upgrade? Booking Holdings, BKNG, the company formerly known as Priceline, upgraded at Deutsche Bank from hold to buy.
Hate the name. Hate that they changed their name. Priceline Negotiator was so awesome. Shatner, and they ruined all that marketing they did all the years by changing it to Booking. Hate that they did that. Anyways, I'll tell you though, the stock actually is looking like it's showing some life here. So it's had a nice run up. You get another upgrade here. That being said, $1,900. That's where you ran into trouble late in October. That's where you did take it out. And we know in November we took it out, but then it came back up. I ought to say $1,900 looks like where it wants to go. And maybe that's where it potentially stalls. Big psychological level there, too.
A couple daily highs to contend with before you get to that 1900 level. You had a high at 1889.51, but a few days after that, you had a high at 1894. So I just split that 1892.50 as a potential target, though, psychological $1,900 level. As Dennis mentioned, trading up here on just odd odds, but it doesn't trade a lot of volume. So just be aware, they got it up here on this upgrade on less than 200 shares.
Box catches a buy rating from Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. We're looking at that this morning. It's trading up 6% here. Obviously getting some love from the big dog, so that is going to make it go higher here. Your KHC getting some hate from Deutsche Bank. They are downgrading that stock here this morning. Those were the other ones. Anything else, Spencer?
No, you took them out of my mouth. Definitely wanted to hit on the Kraft Heinz, but Box is notable because, you know, we talked about that yesterday, Goldman being influential. Yeah. So whenever they give a buy rating or a sell rating, that is to be noted. But no, that's it as far as ratings are concerned. Was there anything?
The Yelp wasn't easy yesterday, though. I got chopped up a bit in the Yelp. I bought the open. It went immediately 50 cents in my favor, like in seconds. So it was working out very well. You can see the opening spike. I did not sell that opening spike, which I wish I would have. And then it came back up in the 70s and 80s, and I sold it in there for a 25 cent gain. It actually came down all the way and actually went, I believe it actually went red on it. Am I looking at this right? Or maybe it didn't.
Go red, but it did fill the, 37.17. You're right, Dennis. It did go red by 14 cents.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy trade from Goldman yesterday. So I think it did go red there. And that, you know, obviously, so the 37.03, I guess it got down to. Yeah. So it was wild. So if you're chasing it, you know, you got to watch chasing these sometimes. That's all I'll say.
All right. 9 o'clock here coming up.
Before we go, though, just one other stock, and then we'll get some closing thoughts from Jeremy as well. We did not get a chance to mention this, and it was brought up in our chat, and I wanted to mention it as well. I had it on my list to talk about. Align Technologies. That's the invisible braces, ALGN. Kramer did a full segment on this last night on basically why you should sell this stock. It is very, very rare for Kramer to do a bearish segment. Almost all segments he does, you know, he's been trying to do a little bit more lately, but you know, 90% of the time when Kramer's doing a segment on a stock, it's bullish. So he did a whole, you know, bearish, you know, 5 minutes of talking competition is coming from him. He was citing like 3M. He was saying, you know, it's still trading with a high multiple with all this competition coming. And he said, ring the register, take this and take this run that it's had recently and use it to sell the stock. So I'm going to be interested to see how much. Obviously, this is all Kramer here. It's trading down 5 points here. Traded down $7 or $8 last night. So this is all on Kramer. You know, we know Kramer has influence. It's just usually it's to the buy side. So it's interesting when he does a bearish rant. I want to see really how much, you know, influence he has. So that's why Align Technology is getting hit here this morning. I saw Mad Money last night, ALGN. And I'll be interested to see, you know, how many people are listening and, you know, if there's some follow through selling. But just be cautious if you're trading this one. Jeremy, what are your thoughts here? Maybe Align and then maybe overall market thoughts before we close up this.
Yeah, so Align Technologies, it is going to be interesting to watch. It is a little bit more bearish, just pure technicals looking at some of these charts. I don't think we're going to open below 231 because that would be 13 points lower. But if we really start getting moving, I might short. We'll see if we short it. But again, I think you're totally right. It was very interesting for him to have that long bearish segment. I mean, I'm glad he did it. Mix it up, make things a little bit more
interesting. Yeah.
You know,
there were some people. There was a couple of people that bought when it said, "No, he's going to be talking Align Technology." I noticed it traded up a little bit because you automatically assume, "Oh, it's going to be on Cramer. It's going to be bullish." He actually gave a tip though. If they were listening, you got to listen to these commercials. He said, "Is it going to leave you with a crooked smile?" And I was like, "Oh, he's going to be bearish this baby."
Oh, man.
Yeah, listen to those tips.
Very nice. Yeah. So I mean, I'll watch it and see if it breaks lower. I'll keep it on my watch list for about an hour or so. But I mean, as far as overall market, I think everyone's feeling very similar. They want to know when it's going to actually slow down and rest, which I do not know the answer to that. So until it does, let's continue to be bullish. And if we get stopped out because of one black swan or something crazy, then look to buy probably that candle or that day again. Because again, it's just right now we are in a nice 5-6 week uptrend and just pretty much the entire broader market, S&P bouncing off the 200 simple. And my bet to Joel is that we make new all-time highs this year. So we'll see, my man.
All right. Real quickly on that ALGN, not even trading below yesterday's low right now, 39.70, another low at 239 even. So I'll try and hold on to a long there. Below 239, things really open up to the downside. As far as overall market thoughts here, we are just creeping higher. I have really no resistance in on the daily levels until you get much higher into the 2770 area. That'd be a big move for today. Pulling back on the downside here, the close 21.25. I think I'd look for that for a little lower risk long entry. Well, Jeremy, thanks a lot for coming on the show today, going over our charts, giving us some trade setups. I'm glad we got a look at your trading view there, and we're gonna have to schedule to do this again now real soon.
Beautiful. Sounds good, my friend.
All right. Jeremy. And on that note, that will do it for today's show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks again to Jeremy. Thanks to all of you in our chats, both on YouTube and premarket.benzinga.com. Don't forget, you can catch our podcast. As always, we're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play. Please remember all the information on our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. On tomorrow's show, we'll be joined by Jonathan Corpina, live from the floor of NYSE. Meridian Equity Partners is his firm. Always great to speak with Jonathan, and that'll be again tomorrow. In the meantime, folks, have a good day, and we hope we see you again on Wednesday.